So now you have, I'll just give it a quick, I met Jason about a month or two ago. It's he has been involved in a wild state. The state of South Dakota has been involved with the work that they've been doing with DOD on absent and those that are overseas and trying to provide absentee ballots. I just found this to be fascinating. So with that said, thank you for coming.
Well, thank you very much, Tony, and thank you for the invitation. I had no idea that this was going to be the guru meeting of D.C., so I'm really excited that Tony let me come here and share a few ideas on what we're working on in South Dakota. Now, I can't compete with the wireless access that you're developing there. you're definitely on the right track, I think. That's very exciting. From an election standpoint, we are light years behind anything that is on a wireless basis. But my name is Jason Gant, from the state of South Dakota, and I've been serving as Secretary of State for the past 3 years now. But one of the problems that we've had, not just in South Dakota, but across the country, is access for our military servicemen and women who are serving overseas to be able to access their ballot during the election season. What we have seen is that we have a major problem in getting that ballot to the serviceman or woman, but then also getting that ballot back to the United States, whether it's to South Dakota or any other state. So if we could go to the next slide. What I wanted to lay out is how this problem, why it is a problem, and what are all the steps that you have to go through to receive that ballot. As you can see, we put together a timeline there. Obviously, the mail service from South Dakota to Afghanistan is quite intensive, sometimes between 7 and 10 days. But the process that you need to go through, first, you're going to have to be a registered voter. You can't vote unless you're registered. So right there, you're looking at 15 days that it's going to take to get a voter registration form overseas, get the overseas registration form back to the state of South Dakota. Then you're going to have to turn around and request your absentee ballot. So now we're again, this is just the requesting of the form, or filling out the requested form. Then, once that's approved, then it's getting the ballot overseas. So you can see how that can add up to at least a 60-day process of trying to get this ballot overseas. And what we've come up with, I think, is going to be very revolutionary within our election process. Obviously, it's a problem in South Dakota, but it's not limited to South Dakota. This is truly a national problem. It shouldn't matter where our servicemen and women are from. They should all be able to receive that ballot. Now, I like to bring it down to a personal level, and I know every state, and this room is probably full of multiple different states on where you have voted, and I'm sure you're all very conscious, and you never miss an election, so you're always out there voting. But in South Dakota, this entire process that I explain here, we always want to vote, we always want to vote. I don't care if you vote Republican, Democrat, or crazy. Get out there and vote.
You have none of that in the state.
No. There's none of that in the country. Not that the Republicans and Democrats aren't crazy at times either, but this process of the 60 days, if I were to walk into my local county courthouse in South Dakota, I can complete the 60-day process in probably 10 to 15 minutes, standing right there in the county courthouse. Or in your state, maybe it's a local election office or some sort of government agency. And you can go there, you can register to vote, you can request your absentee, you can receive your ballot, you can cast your ballot, and you're done. 10 minutes. Obviously, we don't have a South Dakota courthouse over in Afghanistan. They do not have the luxuries that we have right here in the States. So, how can we give them the opportunity to be able to experience that that 10-minute process. Excuse me. Since you're all a very technology-savvy group, my story is probably going to be nothing new to you, but when I became secretary, our South Dakota voter registration system, or our election management system that we were using, developed in the late 80s and the 90s, mainframe, old, very non-user-friendly. In addition to that, we also had each of our 66 counties in South Dakota had their own election management system. So every county has their own system. It is then trying to talk to a statewide system that, again, is very, very old. So one of the first steps we had to do when I took office was eliminate our old system of having 66 different systems talking to one system, to eliminate those 66 systems and create one system that all 66 counties could access. Now in South Dakota, and more than likely in most states, the local election officials are truly the ones in charge of their election. They determine who can be registered to vote. They determine all of those standards. So what we did in our new system was make sure that each of our 66 counties still had total control of their voters. So as an example, County A can only go in and modify and change County A individuals. However, if someone from County B moved into County A, County A is able to see that information in County B and be able to bring that file from that county into the new county. And of course, the County B county still has to give approval to, yes, you may take my voter. So, kind of a simple concept there where we're keeping everything unified. And in addition to that, we have expanded the system to where it can handle every aspect of our election. Sample ballots are a big thing that people like to be able to see before the election. Well, when you have this unified system, we're able to create all the unique ballots that are necessary in the state. South Dakota, we're very small. 850,000 is our population. We have about 550,000 registered voters, so very small in comparison to other states and especially some other cities. However, the information and all of those unique ballots, during the 2012 election, we had over 700 unique ballots for our election. So South Dakota had 700, more than likely California had 70,000 or whatever it may have been. So it's very important that we have this unique ballot tied to that specific jurisdiction. So I can go into our election management system, type in 123 Main Street of any city in the state, and it will tell me who their senators are, who their representatives, who their county commissioners, all the way down to the very local level of township supervisors. So it was important that we created this system that was going to encompass all of those aspects. In addition to that, we had to go out and talk with our Department of Health to verify death records. We had to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles to verify driver's licenses, the judicial system to verify felons, and we had to make sure that all of that was done in real time. The ability to have real-time data is very key as we get into the system that we have created. So as I mentioned, the problem, that 60-day period that it takes, and it's been a problem across this country for decades. Congress has made great strides in requiring 45-day absentee voting period, which is a federal law, and to try and get the mail to and from overseas, or if it's a submarine, any location in the world. But we still have too many ballots that are received after Election Day. So our solution is to take that 60-day process. Do you remember I talked about how I can go to the courthouse and complete this whole thing in 10 minutes? Well, we want to make it even simpler and take that entire process and bring it down into 5 minutes or less for our soldiers overseas. And this room's not unfamiliar with the Common Access Card. I was completely unfamiliar with the Common Access Card until about a year or so ago when we started discussing the opportunities that we may have with this system to make this whole thing possible. with the Common Access Card, we were able to achieve some of the concerns that we had with how are we going to verify security, how are we going to have something that was uniform and universal to soldiers that they've already been using for a number of years. And we wanted to make sure it wasn't too complicated. We needed a very simple solution for our voting process. I didn't serve in the military, but had I been over there, I would be thinking about making sure that I'm alive each day, and voting may not be on the top of my list, but they're over there fighting for our freedoms and our right to vote, and it seems like a little thing that we can do is try and make sure that if they want to vote, they can have that opportunity. So our solution was working with the Department of Defense, DMDC, working with those folks on how we could be able to access the Common Access Card and be able to have the PKI data so that we could have something that was very secure and that we could authenticate. We put together the iOASIS program. It is a system to where you can use it from a PC login, obviously on military bases and military facilities. This building, all buildings, the Common Access Card is something very familiar to all these folks. So if they want to use it on a PC, if they want to use it on a laptop, I brought an iPad and a CAC reader, thinking that was going to be cool to show, and then you had to go off and talk about all this wireless stuff. So, so I'm not cool anymore, so I had to leave that at the table. But but from an election standpoint, this is really exciting, and it is really, I believe, moving in the right direction for us.
You said scan the check. That means you're using an image and not the IT?
When we started the process, we were told that accessing the PKI was going to take 6 months to a year. Well, I don't have that kind of time. I want this live and up and running in the 2014 elections. So what we were able to do in the beginning was scan the barcode that is on the CAC card, and we were able to get about 99% of what we needed for the registration process and everything to go through. We did not take a picture. Besides that, we did not take a picture. It's just a scan of that barcode. However, a few one-on-one meetings here in D.C. and California and everywhere, we were able to get the access. So I don't know if they were pulling my leg or what, but now we have the access. So now the system is changing to where it is. You just insert your CAC card and you're able to go. And again, it can be used on a mobile device. It can be used on your iPhone, anything.
So what sort of readers did you use on the mobile devices to be able to read the cards?
For the Apple device, there you go. It's just your regular CAC reader with a USB, and it connects right into the iPad.
For an Android reader, we have a little reader here, which he just used for his CAC going to log on. So
exactly.
Readily available.
So we wanted to make sure, remember, too complicated, not an option. It had to be simple. Smartphones, tablets, PCs, whatever they have, they're out there going into jungles and deserts and whatever. We wanted to make sure whatever device this soldier or airman or anyone had, that they could utilize it.
Have your CAC enabled your application that you've done?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Direct trust to DOD.
Direct what?
It's a direct trust model that you're using. We're not cross-certified.
Remember, okay. Now, this is for the absentee ballot, not for the vote. Am I correct?
Yes. We are not online voting. Going to get to that.
Are you working with the DOD Federal Voters Assistance Program Office?
Yes. Okay. Yes, this entire program was made possible through a grant from FVAP, the Federal Voting Assistance.
They have a grant from them.
Okay. Yep.
And the MDC is now in the midst of helping them technically. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes. They've been partnering with us for a number of months now.
They had a capability to try to turn on 2 presidential elections ago, and it was 60 counties to do voting overseas from for any U.S. citizen overseas using the CAC through that program.
Yeah.
And because of the 3 elections ago, Hanging Chad in Florida, they decided no chances this time, don't do it.
Right. Okay. Right. So we've made, the country as a whole has tried for a number of years to try and figure this out. In the grant and I think philosophically right now, online voting is not ready, and we don't want to go there, but everything we can do to eliminate as much of that 60-day process as we can is what we need to do. So, let's say you're taking your iPad as an example. You log in with your CAC, and then what it's going to do, remember I talked about the election management system that we developed earlier that had real-time data? The second you swipe or insert your CAC, it is automatically talking to our election management system to be verifying in real time, first of all, is that person a registered voter? If you're a registered voter, the system back in South Dakota is going to tell iOASIS to go right here to the absentee request form. And it's going to bring in all of your voter registration information that you have in that system. If you're not a registered voter, you're going to start filling out the actual voter registration form, putting in your information, where do you live, so on and so forth. And once you click submit there, it's then also going to be checking, are you a felon? Are you dead? It's going to going to be checking all of those activities. You'd be surprised how many dead people want to vote.
I don't think anybody in this room would be surprised.
So once you have done that, remember we talked about real time and how we had 700 unique ballots. Well, when you put in that 123 Main Street, that's a specific jurisdiction with a specific ballot. So then that ballot is going to come in. 5 minutes is too long. It has to be less than 5 minutes for this process. And then your ballot is going to come up. Obviously, president is going to be easy for everyone, but you're going to get down into those very unique areas. Say there's a mayor's race in City A. Well, that's going to be on that ballot, on that Main Street. In this other city, there may be some sort of school funding initiative. You're going to have that on their ballot. So, at this point, you can either print out the ballot and fill it out. You can mark it on the screen, and then if you go to the next slide, oh, go back a second. So you'll go through that. You can check your ballot. You can complete it. Then you can review it if you want to change it, all that kind of stuff. And then what you have to do is print out your ballot, and because we have the real-time data, we're able to tell you exactly where to mail it. An envelope prints out, and it has the address. Everything is already pre-populated and everything on there. The military person, whether it's military or overseas citizen with that, with the CAC, is able to then return their ballot, and they've completed their process. To get to this point, we worked extensively with the South Dakota National Guard. South Dakota is pretty proud that we are one, on a per capita basis, because our population is a little bit small, but one of the highest areas where the most servicemen and women come from on a per capita basis. And working with the National Guard, and a lot of them have served overseas over the past 5 to 10 years, and getting inputs and suggestions and some of their stories from how it was too hard to vote or what hurdles they had to go through. So we really have to thank them and appreciate their support. We also worked on some information that we gathered from our National Guardsmen about how often they use the internet, how likely they are to vote, if they were challenged in any ways in their voting process. So to get some of that information on those replies. So to summarize this entire process, in putting together iOASIS, if we wouldn't have had the National Guard to help us out with that, if we wouldn't have had the funding from the federal government, from the Federal Voting Assistance Program, and especially working with DMDC on accessing CAC, none of this would have been possible. For a number of years, other states have tried to do this. To our knowledge, there's no other state in the union that is on this track. We really believe that we're on the cutting edge to really have a system in place that is going to tremendously help our U.S. citizens serving overseas. But the biggest key to this entire process was the CAC. And without that, we wouldn't have been possible. So I want to thank you very much. I'd love to answer any more questions. Yes, sir.
First of all, great presentation. Thank you. The CAC member, CAC voter is a service member. Can they get a ballot for their spouse?
Anyone for this system to work. And remember, this is just an option. You can still go through the paper process. There's nothing saying you can't use paper. If you have a CAC, you can vote. You can use iOASIS.
A spouse without a CAC cannot do this. So they still have to go through the manual process.
Yes. Yes. Once we can figure out a way, that's obviously the next step.
Okay. And the Federal Voter Assistance Program Office is considering the idea of having Federal Voter Assistance Officers overseas use their CAC to vouch someone in and have ID, such as non-military Department of State people perhaps.
Sure.
Or citizenry just traveling overseas or living in another country.
Mm-hmm.
And vouching them into the system. Still, a hard part, as you said, is the county-level interaction.
That's right. That's right. It's trying to take that face-to-face activity that you could have at your local election office and trying to do that online, but still having the security. You know, the paper system is great. It works just fine. But when you're able to do it online, plus add more security and convenience, I mean, those are just perfect keys to success. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Since you have the ballot and you have used the CAC card, say you're going to encrypt the ballot if you wanted to, email it to a central point in South Dakota. And couldn't they act as a post office and now distribute it to where it goes rather than making them mail it, possibly losing it?
The number of possibilities.
I mean, you're not voting online. You just electronically mailing your ballot to
yes.
a secure location.
There are so many possibilities that you can see on the next step. But like I mentioned, the grant was very clear that you absolutely cannot cross this line.
So he's working under a grant with a very specific box.
Right. Okay.
Now, I was tutored on this earlier. Don't leave the box. I like leaving boxes.
I know.
He knows I like leaving boxes. But
okay.
So boxes this, are made for me.
Yes. And this entire system is completely outside the box. It's just that is one line where we can't cross.
Yes, sir. I'm just curious. I mean, I'm looking at how you're working here, and I'm curious how you're maintaining separation of who the person was mm-hmm. versus what their vote was.
Oh, sure.
That is a
huge yes, yes. And that is a huge concern on our end as right. well. Right. That was one of the first things we wanted to verify.
Because if they're able to fill out their vote and then print it, mm-hmm. you actually have created a trail there. So I'd like to hear more.
You bet.
Now joining.
At that point, well, I should back up. When
now the, joining.
When the CAC is read or swiped, the information we're pulling from there, first name, middle name, last name, signature, date of birth, and their DOD ID number. That information is then going back into my South Dakota system, and we are keeping that just that they accessed it, so that should we have a case of potential voter fraud or some sort of activity, we have something there. Much like if you were to go to your local DMV and get a new driver's license and at that time update your voter registration, it's the same data that DMV sends to the state would be the similar data that we're taking from the CAC. Now, when that ballot is printed, wherever you're at in the world, the only thing on there is a barcode at the top corner that says that for race one, you checked box one. For race two, you checked box two. That type of information. There is absolutely nothing on that piece of paper that can say it was John Smith who voted. So there is, once you push print, that's all we take. I do not want to know. Nobody wants to know how you voted.
Why? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So you are keeping track, though, of which CAC card pulled down a ballot. So having pulled one down, if you happen to then get sent back in time to vote, you can't vote.
Correct. Once we, South Dakota law, you obviously can't vote twice, but if we were to receive two ballots from you, that first ballot is the one that's going to be counted. So if, and remember I talked about our election management system being real time, once that ballot has been received, that election management system says John Smith requested an absentee on this date, he received his ballot on this date, the office received the ballot on this date. So we already have a record in our system that John Smith cast his ballot, completed all the steps, and we've received it, and it's put in the ballot box.
Yeah, but that's what I was getting at. So that suggests that you actually do know that it was John Smith's ballot. Because otherwise you can't make the linkage.
You don't know how he voted, though.
I have no idea how he voted. Right now, if you, as an example, you can purchase the absentee voting list from your state election officials. Political parties do it all the time. It's very important to their campaign, so they know who has requested a ballot and received a ballot. But obviously, you don't know
what
how
you're
saying
is the ballot has the person's name and so forth on it.
No.
But the barcode has the how he voted. It's not.
No. No. There's nothing on that piece of paper that he or she mails back that says John Smith.
How do you know that was the one that came back?
That was the one that came back? On the envelope. I'm sorry. On the envelope, they have to put their name. They have to sign it.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, I have to know that it was who returned the ballot. Same way if you were to request an absentee ballot from County A to County B in your state. I'm sorry. I should have made that clear. How you vote, we do not know.
I just think we. Oh, go ahead.
Is there any. So now that you've gone through all this, is there any interest from other states? Since you have been stating that you're the only one who's
yes.
doing it.
The phones in Pierre have been. Pierre is the capital of South Dakota. They've been ringing. Yes. Number of states are drooling right now. Please tell us. What can we do? What can we do? So we're really excited about that. And of course, my goal is that my South Dakota servicemen and women serving overseas are going to be using this, and Texas and Florida and California are going to be complaining, how come we can't be as cool as South Dakota?
I couldn't live with that.
Oh, come on. We only had 5 inches of snow yesterday.
I think you might succeed in that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.